Hi, my name is Ron, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I have had victory over alcohol for 24 years. I struggle with... I struggle with anger, bad health habits, financial issues, and people-pleasing. I was born here locally in a place called Happy Valley. My family consisted of my mom, my dad, an older brother, and a younger brother, the five of us. When I was about four, we moved to Lake Oswego. I just remember being worried. I don't have a clue why. I remember standing on the couch, looking out the window, and I was worried. My mom thought I would have an ulcer by the time I was five. My next emotion I remember was when I was not allowed to go with my little brother and his friend on a drive out to their country farm. I lay on the floor on my stomach, and I kicked and pounded my fist and screamed. I was upset. That was one of the first manifestations of a terrible temper and anger within me. We went to church every Sunday. We were the only religious family in the neighborhood. The family down the street was Catholic, but that didn't count as religious to me because they were allowed to smoke and drink and play bingo and dance. Didn't seem like a religion to me if you weren't restricted from doing everything in life that seemed like fun. We also had to go to church and sweat bullets over hellfire and brimstone. I was too embarrassed to go forward to get saved. You had to go forward in front of everybody if you wanted to get saved from hellfire. So I really worried about hell because I just could not get the courage to go up front. I felt like an oddball because everyone else in our unreligious neighborhood just seemed to go on with their merry lives and be so unrestricted and free and have fun and not even worry about hell or sinning or anything. My dad was a very strict disciplinarian. He had a thin cord that he would use on our backside and legs. Frankly, he overdid it. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I am discouraged. After some of my spankings, I would lay on my bed and silently vow to kill him when I was big enough to take him down. I could never spank my kid. My dad did make amends to me later in life. He was overall a good, caring father. I dearly loved him and worked alongside him in the pool business for years. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but that was a hurting factor in my early life. In my early years of school, I went from shy and self-conscious to class clown. Then in my early teens, I went back to shy and self-conscious. I was awkward at socializing and talking to girls. I was so trying to fit into whatever the world was doing around me that I didn't really have a core self. I was so self-absorbed that I could not be intimate with anyone. I took a liking to gambling somewhere in this period. Poker, lagging coins, and dog races with one of our heathen neighbors. I don't know why I like gambling, because my family was very conservative with money, and I was very conservative with money. Looking back, I guess I pictured myself as some sort of tough guy with the gambling to cover my social awkwardness and fear. Around age 15, I was still adamant about not drinking or smoking. Peer pressure and fear of not belonging caused me to finally cave. My parents were away for a weekend, and my friends brought some wine over, and a couple of girls came over, and I drank. It was the greatest thing I had ever discovered. What an awakening. I loosened up. I was fearless. I could talk. All of my self-absorption melted away. All of my anger, my feelings of difference, anxiety, fear, oppression, and worry all just melted away. What a freedom of the spirit. I had no idea how oppressed and uptight I felt. All I know is, if you felt the way I felt before drinking, and then you felt the way I felt after drinking, you would drink, and you would drink every chance you got. I don't know about you, but alcohol worked for me, and it worked very well for a long time. It took away whatever neurosis I was suffering from. In the end, it created a lot more than it ever relieved. All of this is in the mid-60s. It wasn't long before my friends were getting into weed, LSD, uppers, etc. I was front and center with it all. I didn't like any of it, but I just did it to fit in. I tried to be a 60s druggy hippie for a while. But the alcohol did the trick for me. So again, I became somewhat of a recluse to my high school friends and went back to my booze. Talk about a square in a round world. There was a slogan back then that went, "With booze you lose, with dope there's hope." 60s. They say if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. I met Sherry when I was around 16 years old. We hit it off pretty good. A short time after high school graduation, we got married. I was 19. Then we had our little baby, Tina Marie. She is such a love. I was working at a place called Oregon Culvert in Tualatin. Everyone there drank like a fish, and so did I. It was noisy, dirty, and unhealthy, and I fit right in. Our life becomes working every day, maintaining a small apartment, dog races, poker games, and me drunk a lot. We rented for a while. We saved enough money for a down payment to buy our first house in 1973. I'm 22. I mercifully get laid off at Oregon Culvert, or I would probably still be there. I went to work for my dad in his swimming pool business. Yes, I sell pools in Portland, Oregon. No wonder I'm a comedian. 1975, things change. I'm 24 years old. We sold our first house and buy our second house. Tina is about 5 years old now, bright and healthy. I'm making a fairly decent living working for Dad. Sherry's working at Sears. I guess we kind of had the all-American dream. I don't know. During this time, both Sherry's parents died about 3 months apart. I don't know if it was that or now having a nice house, I won't have to save money anymore or what. But my drinking and gambling really got into high gear. Plus, I started going to massage parlors and strip clubs. I got into playing poker and dice after hours at the Turquoise Room. Other times, I would bring the players from the bar to my home for poker. And occasionally, Tina would crawl up on my lap while I would play. I was a big loser in more ways than just money. I got in over my head and couldn't stop. I had to play with the big boys, and I got seriously burnt. Along with all the gambling, I get my first DUI and am thrown in jail for the night. The cop is a no-show for court, and it's thrown out. Then I get another DUI and another night in jail. Man, I hate jail. This time it sticks. My gambling gets to the point where I tell Sherry that she will have to get my paychecks before I do because I just blew the mortgage payment on a poker game. It's a nightmare. I lose the money. Now I lose the family. We split up, and I get a little studio apartment. It's 1977, and I'm 26. I start a high-end poker game at my apartment on weekends. I take a nice rake, and I still manage to lose over $3,000 on opening weekend. I'm sick. I lay in bed for a week with the covers pulled over my face. Maybe the apartment isn't such a great idea. I move back with my parents. I drove my poor mom crazy. She came down to the basement one morning to do laundry, and there I was, passed out, all curled up in the dirty clothes box on the floor. That was appropriate. Another time I came home with half my face bloodied and kicked in from a drunken all-night poker game. I had no memory of any of it. I had to go. I did the only logical thing I could think of, move to Las Vegas. Our divorce was final. I walked away from the job. I walked away from my family, and I headed for Vegas. Viva Las Vegas, 1979. I'm 28. Within a week, I had landed a job at the MGM Grand Casino in the poker room. I think the extreme culture shock, change, and being new in Vegas straightens me out for a while. Don't get me wrong, my life was still a degenerate debauchery of drinking, gambling, and hookers. But I was a runaway freight train when I left Portland, and things had to slow down. Just getting away from the heavy people and influences in Portland was a godsend for a while. But eventually, no matter where you run, there you are. The MGM taught me how to deal poker professionally and let me deal on my off time and on holidays for tips. One time I got to deal to Rodney Dangerfield on one end of my table, and Red Fox was at the other end. It was hilarious. We at the table had our own private comedy show. I lasted almost a year before I drank myself out of the MGM. That's hard to do. I was actually told, "You'll never work in this town again." I was devastated. That was the only job I ever really liked. Still is. I think it was really the hand of God getting me out of there before I got AIDS or murdered or some other tragedy. Sherry came down and helped me move back to Portland. She and Tina still had the house. She let me move back into the house under the conditions that I quit drinking and gambling and running around and go to church. She had found God while I was away. We talked of reconciling our marriage. I just felt totally lost and dazed with where my life had gotten. We went to church. I finally went forward and rededicated my life to Christ. We got remarried in December 1980. I'm 29. I eventually started drinking and playing low-limit poker again. I was very discouraged about these negative events after recommitting my life to Christ, but realized in writing this testimony that my recovery did really begin here. I never drank or gambled as bad as before Vegas, but there were still plenty of emotional scars on the family from my past, and there were a few more yet to come. Luckily, I never physically abused anyone, but there was plenty of sheetrock repair, broken furniture, and other items. We had the police at our house on more than one occasion. I have a terrible temper, and I break things. My drinking led me to attend my first AA meeting. I spent the next 7 years in and out of AA, in and out of church. I had periods of sobriety and periods of chaos. But God is at work sometimes when we don't know it or see it. I was always around recovery, and I was trying to better my life. I would just get so discouraged when I'd go back out or lose money or have a temper tantrum and break something in the house. Looking back now, I know that the thread of God was working me the whole time, along with the prayers of many loved ones around me. April 7th, 1988, I'm 38 years old. I'm not sure what changed or what happened. Maybe it was just God's timing, I don't know. Maybe answer to my and a whole lot of loved ones' prayers, but suddenly all of the pieces started coming together for me to stop drinking and stop gambling. I had gone out to celebrate my birthday. April 6th was my belly button birthday, and found myself walking out of an all-night private poker game I had stumbled into out there. It's 4 a.m., and I have some sort of moment of clarity, and I walk out of free booze, free cocaine, and an old friend there offering me a nice loan to continue in the game. Now, normally there would be no way that I am walking away from all of that, but it just hit me between the eyes how ridiculous all of this was, and I grabbed my coat and drove home. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't just get up and turn into Mr. Perfect Picture of Mental Health here. I still have a fit of anger and depression like you can't believe. But through all of that, I still managed to walk in the right path to sobriety. In my desperation, I somehow get a hold of a guy from L.A. who is reputed to be the last guy on the block for chronic slippers and relapsers, just the dregs of AA recovery failures, of which I was a member in full standing. I had had pretty much what Portland had to offer for long-term sponsors, and it just didn't take. This guy agrees to take me on. He breaks through my thick head and gets me to do things necessary to stay sober. I stop gambling and drinking. I become active in AA. I get back to church. That was almost 25 years ago. I haven't had a drink since. Thank you. I will always be indebted to Clancy I. I start making verbal and living amends to my wife and daughter. We work the 12 steps honestly and right, and not just giving it lip service. For those that might not know, these are the same 12 steps that we work here at CR. There was no CR back then. In fact, the guy that founded CR got sober in AA, working these 12 steps and getting a sponsor there also before CR existed. The 12 steps are Christian-based. I had to try and think about and help other people to get my mind off of myself. Selfishness and self-pity will kill us. I had to pray and meditate. I had to look at my day and see where I messed up and if I owed anyone an amends for bad behavior. I fought terrible depression, moodiness, anger, apathy, cynicism. The list goes on forever. These traits do not go away just because we quit drinking or gambling or whatever we do to escape. He was not afraid to get in my face about these things. It still took me about 9 months to get the monkey off my back in earnest. I'm still waiting for my pink cloud, as they call it. I had to go out to coffee with strangers in AA. I had to put my hand out to new people and ask how they were doing. I had to go early to meetings and ask if there was any way I could help. I had to stay after meetings and help clean up and possibly look for new or sad people to talk to. When I would complain to my sponsor about how sad I felt, I had to go to a meeting and find another sad person and put my hand out to them. Gosh, I hated that, but it worked. That's quite a conversation. Those are the very actions that kept me from having to take a drink. I would have to go to a meeting and find some person that looked sadder than me, which was impossible, and introduce myself to him. I felt like a white-shoed AA insurance salesman, for gosh sakes. And I seemed to be the only one doing it. I hated it, but it worked, and it worked beautifully for a moody, sullen crank like myself that claimed there was no way for a person like me to ever get and stay sober. After I was sober for a while, I sponsored quite a few people in AA. I still do sponsor people in AA. Hopefully the worst of the storms are over with the family, but there is still much damage to be repaired. Just being sober doesn't completely cut it, but it has to be the real beginning to lasting recovery. I do my best, and I feel the household has good, slow recovery. Things get better, and we have some good spiritual and material recovery through the sober years. After years of good recovery, I slowly fall into Ron's will again in a couple of areas instead of staying in God's will. That's why we need to continue to stay and work here. Satan can be so clever and subtle. I see his antics as I look back. We get spoiled by the good blessings of long-term recovery, and we stop doing some of the things that got us here and keep us here. I became fearful that Y2K, that's when the computers would all crash because of the digit change from 1999 to 2000, in case you missed it. I started buying gold and silver coins for the oncoming economic meltdown. I bought a lot of them. That led to getting into the stock market. That led to getting into stock options and other derivatives with large payoffs for small investments. Something for nothing, basically. I lost a lot of money with that attitude. I had just traded poker and the crap table in for so-called Wall Street investments. I lost most of the value of an IRA I had set up with my stock market antics. Then the real estate market crashed. Then the stock market crashed. Our business crashed. And eventually my income crashed. Everywhere I turned was a financial nightmare. The final thing, though, that made me lose all rational perspective was that all the gold and silver that I had been buying and hoarding for almost a decade would have brought me through all of this financial doom and gloom with plenty left over to retire, actually. One problem, I managed to sell it all just before it skyrocketed in value. I always seemed to find a way to lose. It was devastating to me. Now, instead of ignoring all the world's troubles and actually being able to retire out of all of this, I was looking at possible bankruptcy. I took it all personally. To have come so close to being a financial genius after people mocked me for years about hoarding all the coins, my ego was crushed, and I felt just like I did in all my years of losing such large amounts of money in my gambling. I think I actually felt worse. I never drank over all of this, but I blame God for making me such an idiot. It's just a terrible, sad, sick feeling. I just lost all hope again. Why even try? Why did I have the passion and right idea for so many years just to be thwarted so quickly in the end? I became bitter, depressed, moody. I would take it out on Sherry and fits of anger on the house. It all came to a head. I thought about going back even more into all of the world's answers for some comfort. I knew I had tried it all before. This is the worst feeling. Nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. Where could I go? Where could I go? Where could I go but to the Lord? Why do I forget about my precious Lord? I realized I was putting more trust and importance on money and myself than on God. My fear and self-centeredness had taken over again. My caring about others had gone out the window. I let my feelings take over. My feelings will destroy me if I let them. Man, did I need an overhaul again. I had no peace in my life. My soul hurt. I had no rest for my soul. At my lowest, I hid on something where I found a small stillness while I was doing it. And that was reading the Bible and prayer. I started reading as much as I could. I took my Bible to work, to Starbucks, in the car. While I was reading, I would be at peace. I had nowhere else to go. I started to feel a small amount of blessing or grace back in my life. I found a refuge, a place to go to get out of the heaviness, away from the turmoil. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Father. There is nowhere else to look anymore. Where could I go but to the Lord for my restless soul? My soul was tired, worn out, and sad. We'd been going to Rolling Hills Church for quite some time, but never really connected, which is really the way I wanted it. After getting into the Bible and prayer, I felt God directed me to attend CR. I kept coming and jumped into a step study group before I had time to talk myself out of it. The step study was a godsend for me. I had worked all of the 12 steps before in AA 3 or 4 times. But this was different because we all did it as a group. It promoted getting CR accountability partners and a CR sponsor. which I doubt I would have gotten if not for step study. It really got me involved and in action. Faith without works is dead. I truly believe that. When I came in here, I was so negative and down on myself, it wasn't funny. I was sick of myself. Slowly through the step study, I started to unwind a little. I started making some new friends. I found myself, excuse me, I lost my place. I'll have to start all over. I'll spare you. I started making some new friends. I found myself slowly coming out of my doldrums. I got phone numbers. I got a sponsor, someone who I noticed was very active. I need that. I just tried to do the step study as it was taught and not get cynical or try to pick it apart, as is my nature. At the end, I was so thankful for a structure and guiding format to accomplish the steps again. I got my focus back where it belongs. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And love God with all your strength, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I felt so bad for falling out of God's will and direction after so many years of his peace and serenity. But I also see now that God had a purpose for everything and that my walk with God wasn't even close to where it needed to be before this. Our home life, my business, my family, and my peace of mind is being so blessed by being a part of CR and its people. Getting involved in CR and meeting a lot of you has changed my Christian walk. Well, it's actually created it. Through all of that turmoil, God led me to CR, where without it, I doubt I would have gotten to here spiritually. I'm sorry God has to use such 2x4 tactics on me. But luckily, he has gotten my attention, and I have learned and grown out of my debaucheries. Mixing my recovery with my Christian and spiritual walk through CR has just been an indescribable blessing to me. I've never known so many Christians on a first-name basis as I do here now. I've been around here now for over 4 years, and I've tried to help where I can. I've done a lot of cleanup. I've tried to help with the fundraiser breakfast and car washes, the leadership trainings, and be of service in some capacity. I am a CR sponsor to a few of the guys. I like to teach up here once in a while and hope that I can bring some godly wisdom from my long-term background in sobriety recovery to the group. I'm not perfect, and I never will be perfect. I've had some setbacks, as you can see, in my life. I have felt so unworthy and hypocritical at times. But my walk with God continues. I will not give up. I get up off my pity party and get back into the game. I will not let Satan defeat me. I will not run away again from all of this. I will not run back to my solitude. I will not run back to hiding under my covers in the dark. I will continue to read God's word and pray. I will continue to call on and meet and serve as best I can with all my brothers and sisters in CR. I will continue to come to church and worship and praise and learn and sing out loud and raise my hands. I will pick up that yoke one more time and tie myself to Jesus and walk and talk and watch and hang out and learn from my master and bring back my soul to a place of rest. And then, hopefully, I will have something to offer and share with the new, tired, weary, and restless soul that comes through that door back there. The next prodigal that came to his senses and is returning to our gracious, loving, forgiving, awesome Father God. I will surrender my life and will to God. I ask with a humble heart on bended knee for help from my precious Father. Thank you all so much for listening to my story. I love every one of you. God bless you all. Thank you.